Nerd sandwich, comics, movies, nerd things, sandwiches, woo 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 woo.
Welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Sandwich Podcast. This time we have another spooky serving for you in reminiscent of last year's special, where we are reading from the SCP Foundation, everyone's favorite spooky wiki for everyone's favorite spooky month. Today spooky. I'm joined, excuse me, sir.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to spook you.
Well, I am offended rather than scared, but that's fine. Go ahead, please. John is here.
That's me. Spooky time.
We also have Perrine here, back again to provide some additional reading and her voice, her vocal excellence.
Back from the dead. Back from the dead.
Resurrection.
Hello.
Oh, okay.
I like the
ring. Thank you for summoning.
Right. Base on it. Okay.
You can do anything. You can do any voice.
So if that doesn't tell you what you already need to know, you are in for a wild ride. And if you haven't experienced the SCP Foundation yet, you're in for a treat. It's just an amazing website that is just fan-sourced, just people writing about anomalous objects in the world, like just sharing information about spooky places or mysterious items that can do things that are just not of this world. It is a database of paranormal items and events and surrounding like material and lore thereof. And there's thousands of articles in this database. And we have picked our favorite three for this round to read to you today. So strap spooky. In.
They're spooky too.
Mr. Spooky. Yeah, they literally are spooky. That is factual. So, you know, strap in and we're going to get all, you know, nice and cozy and, you know, find your loved one and hug them a little bit because you're going to need it. So today we start off with SCP-993, also known as Bobble the Clown. And yeah, I know what you're thinking. Clowns played out. Whatever. Everyone's scared of clowns. That hype in, what was that, 2017 when it was coming out? That, like, you know, the clown craze where everyone was afraid. No, this is a little bit more legit than that. And a lot more creative, if I do say so myself. This was one of John's picks. And I'm really proud of him for this one. Because reading about it again kind of freaked me out a little bit.
I actually shared this story just to give you all like a little. Like I shared this with Azalea, my daughter. I had mentioned how she asked me to tell her a scary story, and this is the one I immediately pulled out. Like I haven't read this in like since you and me, Miles. Actually, since we read it a long time ago, she was terrified. Like Elena was holding her, and she said she felt her heartbeat immediately speed up.
Oh, wow!
She's like, "Is it real?"
You gotta turn on the TV to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you know if you're asleep?
Exactly. Exactly. So,
do you guys have any clown fears? Are you uncomfortable in the presence of clowns?
I'm not any more uncomfortable than the next person. Like, I mean, I don't want it to happen, like, be around clowns, but I'm afraid of spiders a lot more.
Mm.
I'm with that. I have a clown preference, and I would say no, but like, if I had a choice.
Wait, who's the one that prefers to have clowns around?
Clowns themselves.
Yeah, for real. Well, let's start clowning. So this one is SCP-993. It is classified as safe, right? So here's some of its containment procedures, and kind of gives, you know, understanding what it is. Any broadcasts of SCP-993 are to be intercepted as detailed in Protocol Upsilon Beta 3 and blocked from public viewing. All intercepted broadcasts are to be recorded and stored for future viewing. Any subject used to view SCP-993 must be under the age of 10 and are to be dosed with Class A amnesia after they have described the episode. Also, the viewing of SCP-993 must be authorized by level 4 personnel.
Wow. So already got high lockdown on this thing.
And well, let's find
out. It's safe. So what could be wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Here we go. Here's the description. SCP-993 is a children's television program entitled Bobble the Clown, which first began airing in redacted year. SCP-993 seems to have been made in the style of an educational cartoon, with the primary plot of most episodes being the titular character, Bobble the Clown, learning a new skill or activity. The program appears to have no supporting cast, and the setting of the program often changes between episodes. SCP-993's anomalous properties become obvious when the program is viewed. Anyone watching age 10 years or older will immediately fall unconscious when the program begins and will remain incapacitated until the end of the program, later reporting a stabbing headache immediately before blacking out. Children under the age of 10 viewing SCP-993 later report that it teaches and advocates activities such as cannibalism, murder, torture, data expunged. These activities appear to become ingrained in the subject's mind. Repeated exposure to SCP-993 can result in permanent psychotic and schizophrenic symptoms. Episodes of 993 are regularly broadcast from a current unknown source, but since year 2000, all broadcasts have been successfully intercepted using protocol Upsilon Beta 3 and blocked from public viewing.
So what exactly are we talking about here? What is this?
This is a TV show that comes on, I guess, really at any point, random time in the day, immediately incapacitates adults, people older than 10, and starts advocating for activities such as cannibalism, murder, torture, and some other things that they refuse to have published in their, or not published, I guess just written in their secret, super secret files.
And anyone that watches it that's older than 10 years old just falls asleep immediately. They just go completely unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's only viewable to children under the age of 10. Is it 10 or under? Is it under 10 or can they be 10?
Under.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah, if you're 10 years or older, you'll be unconscious.
And it becomes ingrained in their mind, and repeated exposure results in psychotic and schizophrenic symptoms.
Yeah, that's not good. You know, that's not what you want.
Yeah, it's not what I want.
But I wonder if you feel like you do want it if you're like 10 or under. Like, is it something that you want to keep watching, or is it disturbing to watch?
I think it's both.
I almost feel like it defends itself too. Like it forces itself to be watched.
Yeah. I think so.
Ugh.
It seems that there's a log here that talks about some of the episodes and what happens in them. And I figure we can also read those as well. Just to get a better vibe for how this thing operates.
Heck yeah. I could go first and then I'll let you two in on the fun.
Sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So the first one's titled Bobble's Kitchen Surprise. Setting of episode is a stereotypical small American town. In the episode, Bobble the Clown appears to kidnap one of the town's citizens and takes him to his home. Once there, Bobble the Clown informs the viewer on how to prepare human flesh for consumption, then proceeds to skin, gut, and cook the citizen.
Oh. Wow.
Isn't that awful? Like
Martha's Kitchen gut edition. Well,
How much of this do you think he provides, like, accurate, like, measurements for things?
I imagine it's completely accurate.
Yeah, I want to know the exact degrees at which the flesh needs to be cooked.
Yeah. They're like, oh, if you want those sear marks, you got to put...
Right, got to saute it a little bit.
You got to bust out the George Foreman and make sure, you know, get that nice browns to it. You know.
Yeah.
He includes safety tips too. You don't want to get an epidemic off of human flesh.
Right. Oh, do not cross contaminate your flesh with actual meat.
Not about those lawsuits.
Or do you think he's got like sponsored materials and ingredients?
Like, that's true. Are there any commercials during his show at all?
Yeah, like what knife is he using? Because he's going straight through the bone.
Yeah, exactly. I could use that. Yeah. Oh my god! But this is terrifying. So
yeah, that's horrible.
Okay. Well, the second episode is called "Bobble in the Big City." So the setting of this episode is a large American city, possibly New York. In the episode, Bobble the Clown instructs viewers on methods of lighting fires undetected, using resources such as mosquito coils. At the end of the episode, Bobble the Clown sets fire to a large building and leaves. The picture stays on the burning building for a further 3 minutes before the episode ends. Screams are audible during this time.
Mm.
See, the thing like, I wonder about Bobble the Clown is like, is it fiction or is it like the things you're seeing? What he was cooking in the last episode in this building, like is he really cooking a human that he killed or really burning a building in the city, or is it all just fiction?
I can't tell whether or not it matters.
For education. You
know? It's like, yes, these people could be killed, but the thing is that the people who are watching that, the children who are watching that video, they get it ingrained in their minds how to kill and cook and eat human flesh. And so it's like the teach a man to fish situation where it's like, I'm not as worried about the one person he may have killed, but what about the many children that will go on to kill a bunch of people?
Think of the children.
Yeah, now I'm a concerned parent.
I don't want my kid watching that.
Right.
No children should be watching this, actually.
Yeah. Well, bring it up with the Board of Education.
You never know. It could save their life someday.
I mean, they learn how to make what if it's like a clean fire? You know, like, this is the best, most accurate way, you know, when you're out in the world. Like, this kid, one day, when he's, like, lost in a forest, remembers his teaching from Bobble.
He has to commit arson to find his way out of this forest. It's the only way. There's no other way to get out.
It's like a park.
Public park. Yeah, he's in California. Surprise.
All right, what's the next episode?
The next episode is Bobble's Sneaky Saturday. Setting of episode appears to be London, as the Elizabeth Tower housing Big Ben is visible. In the episode, Bobble the Clown silently stalks a woman for most of the episode. When she arrives at her home, Bobble the Clown attacks and kills her with a large butcher knife. At the end of the episode, Bobble the Clown details methods of remaining unseen in crowded places. I think the image of a clown silently following someone with the intent to kill them, like, is pretty messed up to watch.
Yeah, like, especially when they're unaware. Clowns should never be silent.
That's true. Everything about them is loud, and that just, it's an oxymoron in a way.
Yeah,
stealth clown.
A mime.
Yeah, that's what you're describing.
Stealth clowns.
That's Wobble. Wobble the mime.
Yeah, so then now we got Bobble Gets the Truth is the next episode. Setting of episode appears to be a prisoner of war camp. In the episode, Bobble the Clown tortures a captured soldier, repeatedly asking him nonsensical questions. The soldier eventually appears to die to his wounds. Bobble the Clown then details to the viewer how to inflict painful but non-lethal injuries. Ooh.
See, Oof. Now that is useful, right? In some situations.
I want to kill.
In self-defense.
Without taking life.
Exactly.
Torturing 101.
He could teach them just how to kill.
I don't want to hear it, but I would love to know what the nonsensical questions sound like. Like, what are these questions? Or whatever, just like.
Yeah, I think it's important. The important part about this is that he wants nothing from this soldier. He wants no answers. And this is so, the lesson he's teaching is certainly not how to torture to get information for a greater goal. It's really torture for the sake of torture.
Hmm. But making it look nice with some nonsensical questions.
Yeah, just a little sprinkle on top. All right, what's the next one, Perrine?
Next episode is called Bobble Hates You. The setting of the episode appears to be a blank room. Bobble the Clown sits in a chair in the room, staring angrily at the viewer for the full 30 minutes of the episode.
<Many scene. laughs> That is so creepy.
That'd be the worst one to land on when you're just flipping through channels at 2 a.m.
I always get creeped out when me and TV make eye contact too. You're not just bony contact, but you feel like you look at each other, you know, look in the same direction, like into the same each other's eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's obviously, it can't coordinate with you, but like when it happens, it just feels unreal. It's like when you look in the mirror, when you make
eye contact
with yourself.
Yeah. It's, we all know how creepy clowns can be as well. And as they're meant to be smiling creatures, when they're not smiling and specifically staring at you angrily, there's a little extra oomph in the creepiness there. But I think what's also awesome about this is when you add the context of what's going on. The first three, I guess, maybe three or even four episodes had already been broadcasted before the SCP Foundation had found out about Bobble the Clown's show. After that, they started intercepting the broadcast before it reaches, like, you know, TV audiences. And so Bobble Hates You is a response to Bobble being stopped or halted.
Interesting.
Oh.
So he is aware of, like, the SCP Foundation and what they're doing, or at least it appears to be. But I guess we'll find out in this next episode.
Well, what if he's actually being, like, responsive to, like, a, like, lack of funding for the show to continue? Like, dealing with his own stuff. Like, you know, what if he's, yeah. I don't know, he has a lot going on.
It's a very low-budget production, you know? It's a very indie. He's in the indie scene. This next episode is titled Expletive U, in all caps. The setting of the episode appears to be Site Redacted's video archive, where recordings of SCP-993 are stored. In the episode, Bobble the Clown angrily details methods of breaching containment for several SCPs. Bobble then details methods to murder researchers involved in its containment, showing detailed knowledge of their daily routines and habits. Notably, what appears to be an animated version of Dr. Redacted walks past Bobble halfway through the episode. A clock on the wall shows the time as Redacted PM. Dr. Redacted confirms that he was walking past SCP-993's archive at the time. So, yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bobble not only knows exactly what's going on, but can see everything that's happening, even at the exact time. So apparently the researcher that was walking through that, through the video archives where they keep the broadcast of Bobble the Clown, was himself a part of the episode as an animated person. And they know all the details about where they live, what they do every day. How is he seeing this, you know?
Oh, man.
Because this is beyond, like, being able to see through, let's say, your TV or something like that. You don't have a TV in your bathroom. You don't have a TV in your car. But he knows all these details about how, about your daily routines.
Ugh.
He can look through your phone.
Also, like, there's the fact that he's, like, attempting to, like, you know, let's say that this were to reach out to the public. He's attempting to tell the children of the public and brainwash them into knowing your details and how to kill you in the most efficient way possible. And how to breach other SCPs' containment at the same facility.
Oh, yeah. Good thing they keep intercepting these videos.
Yeah. Essentially, they've been, like, the only reason this isn't, like, more, only reason this is dedicated, I mean, designated as safe is because they've been able to intercept these broadcasts.
Yeah, all it takes is one person taking a vacation day and this is done.
Yeah, but it's weird hearing that the guy was actually walking past that exact time, because it feels like the rest of them have actually happened as well. So, like, the woman he followed home was probably murdered that night, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Ugh. Maybe it's an alternate reality, though, you know? Like.
So the screen of the TV, you're, like, watching an alternate reality.
Maybe. I mean, if I based this on the animated researcher, because the researcher who was in that archive obviously didn't see Bobble the Clown as he walked through it, but Bobble saw him. And Bobble was able to create this reality where he walks past or something. I'm not sure. And clearly Bobble wants to teach other people how to find and kill them and do its bidding for it. But I don't think Bobble can do it himself. But he does know.
He's like omniscient or something.
Yeah. The knowledge is what's scariest about it, the most about it. And like, there have not been more episodes that have yet to be, sorry. There are not more episodes listed here. That was the final one that they've shown. And so probably because so Bobble is getting angrier and angrier.
At this point, to even get these episode descriptions, the SCP Foundation has to get kids to watch it and tell them about it. And then they erase their memory.
Yep. That seems unethical. That seems like the most ethical thing they could do considering the situation, to me.
Well, they're scarring these. They're choosing a handful of children to scar them forever, you know?
Well, I mean, hopefully, if they're really giving them those amnesiastics, it should be wiping their memory and they should have no problem going back to life.
Yeah. I feel like
they never know how to cook flesh properly.
Yeah, missing out on some valuable life lessons.
Which one's next?
Next up is one of my picks, SCP, give me a second, 066, also known as Eric's Toy.
Oh, why'd you say it like that?
you'll know. SCP-066 is a Euclid level object. Euclid meaning that it is more dangerous than safe and less dangerous than, let's say, ending the world. So let's put it in like a medium level danger. A danger that you have to interact with in order to really become an issue. But still dangerous. So, here's how it's contained. SCP-066 is to be kept in a tungsten carbide box in Site-21's high-value item storage facility. Once every month, this box must be manually inspected for damage to the interior. If damage is present, SCP-066 must be moved to a new box. This task is performed via a robotic arm capable of performing the task in under 3 seconds.
Okay, so the description of SCP-066. It is amorphous mass of braided yarn and ribbon, weighing approximately 1 kilogram. Strands of SCP-066 may be taken individually and manipulated. When this is done, a note on the diatonic scale is produced by the object. When a set of 6 or more notes are produced, SCP-066 will produce a benign effect of varying nature and duration. SCP-066 will not respond to manipulation while any effect produced by it is in progress. Prior to incident 0662, results have included SCP-066 transforming into a small calico kitten for 17 minutes. The kitten exhibited significant friendliness and playfulness and appeared to be declawed. Another result has been a song lasting 4 minutes, an acoustic guitar with vocal accompaniment by singer-songwriter Redacted. The lyrics warranted the listener not to use sharp objects without parental supervision. A third result was a small cupcake, chocolate with chocolate frosting and a lit candle stuck in the top. Notably, the tones produced prior to this effect corresponded to the opening notes of Happy Birthday. SCP-066 became responsive after said cupcake was consumed. Oh, so cute.
It's adorable. I like the kitten.
Yeah, so what we have is this like just kind of ball / blob of braided yarn that just like can play music. You play with it and it plays music. But if you make 6 notes, I guess, it creates different effects. The ones that Perrine mentioned, I guess, here. But it seems that something had happened with one of its testing moments. And there's an incident detailed here. Incident 066-2. On April 18th, 2008, D-066-4437 was instructed to use a pair of scissors to remove a portion of SCP-066 for testing. However, when he began to cut it, SCP-066 rolled 1 meter away from him before stopping and making an unidentified squeaking sound. Before he could be provided with further instruction, D-066-4437 attempted to cut it again. SCP-066 rolled away and produced the phrase, "Are you Eric?" in response. After D-066-437 replied in the negative, SCP-066 morphed into its present state and began emitting loud, dissonant, staccato notes until D-066-4437 was escorted from the room. After Incident 066-2, SCP-066 began to exhibit behavior highly inconsistent with its previous properties. SCP-066 now displays significant mobility, primarily in the form of being able to move tentacular portions of itself at very high speed. While SCP-066 is either unable or unwilling to use this ability for transportation, it will occasionally attempt to damage its containment by rubbing its strands against the side of the box, gradually wearing it down. This process appears to be unusually effective for the materials in consideration. Additionally, SCP-066 will automatically produce notes and effects in the presence of any human, regardless of whether that human interacts with SCP-066. This process takes a minimum of 6 seconds. In the aftermath of Incident 066-2, effects produced by SCP-066 have included a single bee that was released near the containment, stinging D-4436 before flying away. The bee was not captured. It is unknown how the bee survived. Beethoven's Second Symphony was played at over 140 decibels, causing permanent deafness in 3 personnel and permanent hearing damage in 8 others. The room containing SCP-066 experienced a sudden and complete absence of light for 5 hours. Personnel in the room reported hearing loud breathing behind their shoulders, although no source was apparent. When it is not producing anomalous effects, SCP-066 will say the name Eric constantly in a deep, masculine voice. And as a footnote, SCP-66 consistently destroys any recording devices placed inside its containment box.
Well, of course, right? I don't want to hear that.
So this thing got real freaky real quick. yeah. They cut its yarn, and then immediately it changed from, like, this, you know, beautiful rainbow-colored cute kitten transforming thing into this red ball of eyes that just speaks in a masculine, deep voice. Are you Eric?
Ugh. I'm wondering, like, who Eric is to it. Like, was it a human that cared for it and it thought that all of the researchers were Eric until it harmed him? Because Eric would never do that. Or... has no one harmed it its whole life until it met Eric, who, like, tortured it. And so when it's, like, hurt again, it's like, wait, are you Eric?
Or what? Oh, my gosh. Like,
what is Eric to it? What's the history of Eric?
I know. Yeah.
What if you pick it up and you look on its shoe and it has, like, Eric written on it? And, like, it has little flashbacks.
Eric went to college.
So long, partner.
I don't like when it can do things that's not related to sound, because, like, it seems like it has a lot of ability to play these notes and control decibel levels and, like, deafen people. But when it starts, like, flicking the lights and, like, releasing bees and cupcakes, I guess we should have known when it could produce a cupcake.
That's true. That is so true.
That's what disturbs me. And I also do not like that it can move at tentacular portions of itself at high speed.
Yes. Like that. And the fact that the yarn, even though it's yarn, is, like, it can degrade, like, tungsten a tungsten container just by rubbing against it over and over.
Right. Like, what is it made out of?
It does not have any rules to its body and its abilities. Like, you would think, yeah, like everything that Perrine is saying about the sound, but like these extra things that it does makes it so unpredictable that it adds an extra layer of creepiness to it. Combine that with not knowing Eric's identity or like what Eric has to do with any of this, it puts us up there in the creep zone.
If you guys were a researcher in the room and it was your birthday, and 066 sang you the happy birthday song and then gave you a lit candle with chocolate, a lit candle on a chocolate cupcake with chocolate frosting, would you eat it?
I feel like I'd have to.
I mean, no. No. It's not that there aren't any safe SCPs that exist. We don't tend to read them on this podcast, but there are many safe SCPs that give peaceful or beautiful results. And despite knowing that, I still would not eat that damn cupcake.
Gonna make it mad. I mean, come on, it turns into a small calico kitten. What could be wrong with the cupcake?
Even the kid just freaks me out.
What about the bee that it released?
Right. I mean, they need to capture that thing ASAP. That bee gets released into the world. Who knows what kind
That's
of thing.
That's an SCP on itself. I don't that it produces a single bee, because I feel like the fear of bees is, unless you have a severe allergy, would be like how it comes in numbers, you know?
It's like a swarm. Yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that this is a single bee is just strange.
Exactly. It's just so odd in how it responds to things and how it attacks. And here's the thing. It's permanently survived. Hostile. Yeah, it's permanently hostile now. Like, after the cutting of the yarn, it is no longer ever going to be that rainbow yarn that it was before. And now it's, like, permanently just upset at whoever. And it has abilities that we still don't fully understand, like, the range of. So, like, last thing I want is to make something like that angry.
That's why they can't have nice things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, why they got to go cutting it? Why was that their idea? That was
You never cut yarn before? You knit.
You knit. It's not like you insulted Korean right now.
Yo, knit. Beautiful. That is Eric's toy. I really enjoy that one. A nice fun shorty. But we got a third one for you guys, which Perrine will be taking over.
Okay. SCP-1562 is object class safe. Special containment procedures is that 1562 is currently quarantined in testing lab 46V in Site 24, but the door to the lab has to remain locked at all times. Testing is currently suspended and all access is denied unless special clearance is granted by Dr. Carver. Description of SCP-1562 is a metal playground slide measuring 2.2 meters high and 3.4 meters long. It was acquired from an abandoned playground on the outskirts of Redacted after several children in the area went missing. The object's anomalous effects only manifest when a person slides down head first on their stomach with their arms tucked down at their sides. Any other orientation of the body or limbs while sliding results in no effect. And only human beings are affected. When a person slides down SCP-1562 in the aforementioned manner, they will disappear instantly and completely at approximately 15 centimeters before the end of the slide. So far, no one who has disappeared while using SCP-1562 this way has ever been recovered. Attempts to tie safety lines to test subjects in an effort to pull them back have ended in failure, as the tether is severed at the moment the subject disappears. Communication with test subjects that have disappeared is possible and ongoing and detailed in the logs below.
Gosh. Oh my gosh. This is awful.
Yeah.
This is a child's nightmare. You know, but I would be extra sus of someone sliding down a slide, face first, you know, down with your arms.
That's my thing. It's like you're asking for it. You can't. Okay. It's not even head first, which I don't know who does that, but they're crazy. But it's also arms at your side, not even arms first. So
you're just like a little missile.
Yeah. Dude, It is so unlikely to be in that position going down a slide. So like that kind of gives me some like like comfort. But also like if you were in that position, that is the least comfortable position to experience something anomalous. Like you're just so vulnerable. Like you're going face first with your arms aren't even in front of you to protect you. You're just like face first into whatever danger and you just get warped to another place.
Could you imagine you go outside right now and find a slide, you do it, you're done. Like we never hear from you. Like, cause that's probably, it probably is real. Cause no one
does
that.
That's what happened to a bunch of kids. Some kids.
Yeah. There had to have been one smart kid that went the right way first and then lost their best friend. Like right after.
We all knew that one weird kid in school that would do that. the face down, the face first slide person.
You know, I actually don't know a kid like that.
Nah, you forgot it. You were like, that kid's weird. And like, you move
it
on.
It was expunged from my memory.
This article remembered.
Redacted from my memory.
Yeah. So there's a couple logs which have detailed the communication with test subjects who have been forced to go down headfirst with a tether attached to them. And just to like quickly note, if you aren't familiar with SCPs, these test subjects, which they're usually called like D-class, these usually consist of like criminals who have done horrible acts of like violence or killed people, or, you know, like they're pretty much giving like a lifelong sentence, yeah, for whatever they've done. And so if you ever hear about D-class subjects being used in something, they're usually prisoners that are being used for these experiments as a, like, instead of getting a death sentence. So like if they, I don't know, do you guys know what happens? Like if they survive these situations, are they allowed to just be free?
Yeah, they get reduced sentences.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's very unlikely for that to happen, but yeah, right. It can happen. And yeah. And morally, this still is awful. like criminals are still humans, but you know, if this is what needs to be done for scientific progress, then I guess they have their own way of justifying it. The SCP Foundation. But yeah, carry on.
Okay. So, we're going to read some of these logs. So, the first situation was, oh yeah, go ahead, set this one up, John.
I'll do the forward. So D2445 was given a two-way radio earpiece to communicate with researchers observing the test. Communication began immediately after D2445 disappeared from SCP-1562. Begin log.
I'll be reading as the Dr. Derritz. D2445, can you hear me?
I'll be reading as D2445. Yes, doctor, I can hear you.
Where are you now?
I don't know. Some sort of very small tunnel. It's really cramped. Can you get me out now?
Can you describe it to me?
No, it's too dark. I can't see anything and I'm stuck.
Stuck how?
I'm still head first on my stomach and my body's at an angle, but I'm in some sort of small tunnel and I'm stuck. I'm completely surrounded by rock or dirt on all sides. I don't have enough room to raise my head or move my arms, and I can't move forward. I really want to get out of here now.
We're going to try. Can you see anything? Anything at all?
No, I told you I can't see anything. I'm getting kind of freaked out now. I'm not really claustrophobic, but this is pretty fucking uncomfortable. Pull me out here.
Unfortunately, your safety line was severed when you disappeared, so we can't pull you out. We'll try to find another way to retrieve you. For now, just stay calm and keep talking to me.
No, 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 no. You need to get me out now. I can't handle much more of this.
Please stay calm. We will have you out of there as soon as we can.
Okay. I was able to worm my way forward a little bit, but my head hit something.
What did you hit?
It's a shoe, I think. It's small. Jesus.
What's wrong?
Get me out of here, doctor. Get me out of here now.
Calm down. We'll get you out of there as soon as we can.
No, you need to get me out of here right now. The shoe. It's so tiny.
Communication was suspended with D2445 while researchers discussed possible methods of retrieval. A consensus was reached to send down another D-class attached to a tether with additional video and audio recording equipment, a GPS tracker, and a headlamp. Communication was reestablished with D2445 to inform him of the plan.
Are you still there, D2445?
Please. Please. I don't want to be in here anymore.
We're going to send you someone to pull you out.
It started talking.
What started talking?
The little boy did, but it didn't make any sense.
Tell me what he said.
He just kept asking where he was, and I told him I didn't know, but I don't think he was really talking to me because he didn't respond to my voice, and he told me to stop crying when I was actually sort of calm.
What else? What was he moving at all during this?
I don't think so. He started screaming, and I told him to shut up, but he just kept screaming and crying and asking for his mommy. Then he finally stopped, and shortly after that, you contacted me again. Please get me out now.
Okay. We're sending someone in. Don't panic if you hear or feel something behind you.
Please hurry. My chest is...
End log. Shortly after this, D8600 was sent down to SCP-1562 with the equipment noted above. D8600 was selected for his small stature and thin body shape in hopes that he would be able to move more easily than D2445. The rope used to tether D8600 was severed at the same moment D8600 vanished from the SCP-1562, and the GPS tracker signal could not be traced. The following audio was recorded after contact was established with D8600.
D8600, can you hear me?
And I am going to take the role of D8600. Yeah, I can hear you, Doctor.
What's your situation? We're not getting anything on the video feed.
I'm in some sort of cave or tunnel. It's really small and dark. My headlamp stopped working as soon as I got in here.
Are you able to move at all?
I'm not sure I can get my arms up in front of me, but I can sort of wiggle my way forward. Wait, what is this? Hey, are you all right?
D8600?
I just bumped into someone's foot. They're not moving at all. Hey, are you okay down there?
That could be D2445. Davies, try 2445's radio.
I can hear his radio, I think. I can hear Davies' radio voice.
Hmm. But D2445 isn't responding. We're not picking up Davies' voice on your radio through our end.
Yes, Doctor. I can hear you.
D255 voice was slightly muffled, but still audio reached through D8600's radio. Davies, turn that off. I can hear him through D8600's.
Hey, man, I'm glad...
I don't know. Some sort of very small tunnel. It's really cramped. Can you get me out now?
D2445, listen to me. D8600 is behind you and is there to help you get out.
No, it's too dark. I can't see anything, and I'm stuck.
Hey, man, it's okay. We know you're stuck, and we're both going to get out of here.
I'm still head first on my stomach, and my body's at an angle, but I'm in some sort of small tunnel, and I'm stuck. I'm completely surrounded by rock or dirt on all sides. I don't have enough room to raise my head or move my arms, and I can't move forward. I really want to get out of here now.
Okay, man, it's okay. I'm going to try and get my arms up, and I'll grab a hold of your ankles. They should be able to pull us out of here then.
No, I told you, I can't see anything. I'm getting kind of freaked out now. I'm not really claustrophobic, but this is really fucking uncomfortable. Pull me out of here.
I'm working on it. Have some...
Hey, D8600, stop talking. Something isn't right here. D2445 is just repeating everything he said to me when we initially made radio contact with him.
No, no, no. You need to get me out now. I can't handle much more of this.
It's okay. Just calm down. Doctor, I think he's just freaking out. I've almost got my arms in front of me.
Okay, I was able to worm my way forward a little bit, but my head hit something.
No, he's literally repeating his side of the conversation, word for word. Did he actually move at all? Like, he just said he did.
I don't think so. Okay, this is getting kind of creepy, but I've got his ankles. See if you can pull us out now.
It's a shoe, I think. It's small. Jesus.
Doctor, what is he talking about? Can you just pull us out of here?
Get me out of here, Doctor. Get me out of here now.
We can't pull you out. I'm sorry.
No, you need to get me out of here right now. the shoe. It's so tiny.
What the fuck are you talking about? Why can't you pull this out? What does he mean the shoe is so tiny? What the fuck is going on, doctor?
Please. Please, I don't want to be in here anymore.
D-8600. Unfortunately, the rope we tied to you was severed as soon as you vanished. We didn't realize that would happen.
It started talking.
Fuck. Okay, then. I'll try inching my way backwards. I won't be able to bring him with me, though.
The little boy did, but it didn't make any sense.
Good luck, D-8600. We'll stay in contact with you for the time being.
He just kept asking where he was, and I told him I didn't know, but I don't think he was really talking to me because he didn't respond to my voice, and he told me to stop crying when I was actually sort of calm.
This would be a lot easier if he would just shut the fuck up.
I don't think so. He started screaming, and I told him to shut up, but he just kept screaming and crying and asking for his mommy. Then he finally stopped, and shortly after that, you contacted me again. Please get me out now.
Just shut the fuck up already, creepy asshole.
Please hurry. My chest is really starting to hurt.
Are you making progress, D-8600?
A little. It's not easy, but I'm getting there. The air's getting kind of stale in here. I hope there's enough air for me to make it back. Hey, did he finally shut up?
I'm not hearing him on my end either.
Well, thank God for that. I was starting to think that...
What is it? You were starting to think that... D-8600? Are you still there? What happened?
No further response was from D-8600 was recorded. Subsequent attempts to reestablish radio contact with D-8600 and D-2445 was unsuccessful. Testing has been suspended indefinitely. That makes sense. That's what should happen. If you're going down a slide like that.
They had it coming. Damn. Why do you guys think that 2445 just kept repeating himself? Because 8600 never did that.
8600 is going to do that to the next person who comes in. I think that this one's so weird for so many reasons. I think that the same way that 2445 was hearing the little boy was already dead by the time that he had got there and found him. And so what he was hearing was like the last moments of the boy.
It's like an echo.
And so 8600 was hearing the last moments of 2445 just repeated.
The next person would hear his repeated without knowing any context.
Exactly. So
it's more like an echo than any kind of time warping thing.
Well, it could be. I mean, like when I think about how people enter this thing, I can't help but think about being swallowed by some kind of creature or monster. That's what it feels like going down. It's a tunnel slide specifically, not an open one where you can see where you're going. It's just like a tunnel slide where you're going down into a hole, kind of like sliding down a throat, and, you know, just... And you're like face first, arms at your side. You're like a meal. And then you just go into this area where you can't move your arms, can't move anything. And you're just, it seems like these people are getting digested almost. I mean, without any of the liquid or anything like that. But there's just no air to breathe. And all you can hear is the final cries of the person in front of you. No way of coming back. No way of even going forward, really. Oh. I'm a claustrophobic person, so this is a nightmare for me.
Yeah, just thinking about the sliding method, like, it just seems uncomfortable. Like, yeah, like, you feel so helpless. Like, to get your arms in front of you, you need space. You need an adequate amount of space to be able to flip over your arms, to be over your head, to be active, mm-hmm. to pull yourself. You can't really propel yourself with your arms. Your legs, not really either, you know, especially if you're in a tight spot. Like, it's uncomfortable in a lot of ways.
It's weird too that 2445 describes the surroundings as being like dirt and rocks on all sides too. And it's like they went into a slide. Well, it's not exactly like, you know, if it is like the throat of something, it's exactly. not exactly like fleshy. But yes. Why is it rock and dirt if it's so dangerous? Like, where are they going?
There's also the element where they die very suddenly, or they get cut off very suddenly, right? They're like, oh, my chest is starting to, and then he's gone. Like, that's not suffocating because of a lack of oxygen in a buried alive environment, right? That's something else. Mm. And that's what I can't really put my finger on.
Huh. There's no other information, right? Can we call this Dr.
Garrett? Yeah, Dr. Darrett's. Oh, also, let's check how fucked up it is that Dr. Darrett is talking to 8600 like he did not know the tether was going to get cut, because he absolutely knew.
Yeah. Preen, you did a great job being an awful person. I was honestly mad.
I was thinking that too.
I like how they're like, it's fine. Just calm down. Like, you're being swallowed slowly and there's a child's shoe in front of you and your tether has broke, but just calm the fuck down and we're going to get you out of here as soon as we're not getting out of here, just by the way.
Sorry. The tether got cut when you went in. We did not know this was going to happen. Oh, so
sorry.
It sounds
like 8600 is like so eager to help too, which is really sad.
Yeah, he has a good heart, I guess, despite being a D-class criminal who has done some probably insane crimes.
He probably just wanted to make up, you know, for the crimes. Like, I'm ready to atone. Save this man, be a hero.
Except he has no patience for 2445. He's like, man, just shut up.
Well, 2445 didn't have patience for a little boy who was stuck in a freaking, like, like, rock shaft.
Well, to be fair,
your mom. I don't want
to
hear.
But to be fair, that kid did tell him to calm down when he like wasn't crying at all. Yeah, he didn't know that guy was probably talking to the kid in front of him who was crying. But he's like, "Man, this kid won't stop telling me to calm down, even though I'm perfectly fine."
I know. Imagine a kid telling you, "Yo, stop crying," while you're actually a little boy. I'm pretty calm.
I'm pretty calm. All things considered, I'm pretty calm right now.
Yeah, I'm like, why?
I thought it was going to be like what I thought the SCP was going to be, was like people being stuck in that position, just like literally layered on each other, like just through an entire, like whatever, underground. Just like there's no way out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very creepy.
And there's no way out. Like, it's just done. It is immediately a death sentence. You enter in that position, it's like, there is just no escape, and this is your life. You're what's left of your little life.
Ugh.
Yeah. It messes with me.
That's not good. That's not good.
Well, with that concludes our special on the SCP Foundation for now. That's another fun three picks. Really good choices, everybody. And really good performances, too. I think it really sold the creep factor.
Yeah, I'm glad we paid extra for Preen.
Yeah, worth the money.
I'm ready to join the foundation.
Would you really? Like, would you actually work there?
I think about that because I don't understand who these doctors are, especially when you consider the risks. Like, they better have really high insurance benefits, really high life insurance benefits, because... Like, look at Eric's toy. It's something that seems way less intense than a lot of the other stuff out there. Still, amidst that decibel, like that super high decibel note, that one random day, and like you're just deaf for life. Yep. And so it's like to become a doctor, like a researcher here, just like your career is not going to last very long. But it must be like the most exciting years of your professional life.
It's the most important work you could ever do.
Yeah, what degrees do you need to be working there?
All the degrees.
And what's
like
the pay? Even to be a janitor there, you get fucked sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. They're so cleaning like, up they bodies and viscera, gore, right. all the time. Yeah.
You need a janitor with a master's degree.
Some of the people.
Yeah.
Get rid of some of this.
Exactly.
How do you get rid of like a body that's like invisible or its material is unknown in this world? How do you dispose of that?
Yep. This is a world where accidentally looking at something could kill you. So like, just I don't even want to. No way I'm working in a place like this. And some of the doctors themselves are SCPs. Like, so.
What? Is that?
Yes. At least two of the doctors, Dr. Clef and Dr. Bright, are SCPs. that's something that we could talk about in a future episode. But
that'd be great. I don't know. How does that work? Does he still get paid? He better not be getting paid.
Oh, he's getting paid. This man, this man has a whole life.
Is he married?
I don't think so.
Why are you asking?
He's trying to well, I'm joining the foundation.
Well, that was a little bit of an odd question, to be honest. So I'm starting to think that you're an SCP too.
So is he eligible or
yeah. Is the SCP available?
Right.
Object class is available. Wow. I think
I wonder if Bobble the Clown is available.
Bobble is the one that scared me the most, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I'm somewhere between Eric's toy and the slide, personally. Like, they both freak me out in different ways. The unknowability of Eric's toy, but also the claustrophobia that comes from the slide.
Yeah, I think Eric's toy and Bobble are... Like, the slide is horrifying, but it's so weird that you could even go down the slide head first, but with your arms in front of you, and this won't happen to you. So it's just like, it's under very specific circumstances that could ever affect you. Whereas Bobble and Eric's toy seem way more chaotic. Like, I'm wondering what Bobble has done in his past life to give him this wealth of knowledge and like what he's capable of. And then with Eric's toy, I just like the abilities are so unknown that.
The fact is, Eric is out there and yeah. No one knows what he is, what he does and what his abilities are and how dangerous he might be. And that's what's scary to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bobble. I don't like Bobble because it's actively trying to get out. Like it's doing something all the time.
I mean, yes, that too.
Yeah, with technology ever changing, he's going to find a way around the interception that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Ugh,
he's going to he's gonna open up his own domain on the World Wide Web, you know?
SCP land, do they... Is there anything that we understand truly every origin of? Like, is there anything that we know the most about?
Well, there are some... SCPs that were accidentally or inadvertently created by the Foundation. And so in that regard, yes.
Gotcha.
There's also ones, and like I couldn't give examples, but like I remember some like enjoying the Foundation and like I don't know what the doctor's stories are, but they eventually like work for the Foundation or want to please the people that work there enough that they are like really nice to them. Right?
Yeah, but that's what it tells about how they joined the Foundation rather than like how they were created per se or how they have their anomalous properties.
Right.
Those things we usually don't end up finding out.
Is there a way to submit the information for it? Like, can I request, like, I would like to know more and invest my money into...
you become a benefactor of...
Yeah, it's a mysterious benefactor.
Or a beneficiary. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of different various case scenarios out there. Like, we've only touched just the tip of a massive iceberg of craziness and weird phenomena. I've been, like, deep diving into this all month, you know, just to find fun and different ones. So we might do this again. Just, you know.
I think we should. We'll just kind of call it part two.
We can. We very well can. Guess you'll find out, dear listener. So, thanks for hanging with us once again for another beautiful episode. And we will see you next time.
Don't cut your yarn.
Don't SCP yourself tonight.
And don't go down the slide face first. Like, have some self-respect.
We shouldn't have to tell you that.
I mean, at least have your arms in front of you. Come on, man. Come on.
Yep. And make sure you watch what your children are watching. It's important.
If you're literally physically able, sometimes you might not be. All right. Bye.